Ice. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It's my pleasure. Can you hear me out of this one? I'd rather use this one. Well, I'd like to start off by praying. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this opportunity, and I pray that you just use my words. I mean, use me to speak your word today. And Lord, I just depend so much on you, and just speak through me today, right? And bless us. Amen. I work with Steiger Ministries, and Steiger started about 20 years ago in Amsterdam as an outreach to punks and anarchists. And it was actually started by a man named David Pierce, who is from Brooklyn Center. And he felt like the best way to reach the people in that scene was to start a band. So he started a band, and they called it No Longer Music. They ended up touring the world, and they shared the gospel every time they played somewhere, and they saw thousands of people come to know the Lord. What happened was, since they started touring, people got really excited about their ministry, and they wanted to start up different Steiger bases in different parts of the world. So now there are 9 different Steiger bases in 8 different countries. And there happens to be one here in Minneapolis. So I have been involved with Steiger Minneapolis since the summer of 1997. And a couple years after I started being involved with Steiger, somebody started to talk about putting together a warehouse where we would package food that would be sent to people all over the world. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. But I didn't do anything about it for a couple years. And it was 5 years ago that I decided to take on the responsibility of being the person in charge of this warehouse. So it took a couple years, but finally, 3 years ago, we started up a satellite of Feeding Children International. And my job, actually, Feeding Children International has about 21 different satellites located throughout the United States. And each one is independently operated. So Steiger Ministries is responsible for the satellite that I work out of in Minneapolis. My job is to recruit volunteers to package this food, which is a combination of rice, soy, dehydrated vegetables, and dehydrated chicken flavoring. And this package right here will feed 6 people. Starting this organization was very difficult. In fact, it's difficult to even describe the enormous obstacles that I faced as I started this organization, being that I had no money of my own to put into this organization, and I had no business training, and I had no training even for raising support, and I had no other people willing to take part in this to get it going, to get it off the ground. But despite all these obstacles, we have been able to package and ship over 600,000 meals to Malawi. So there are a lot of passages in Scripture that have really helped me over the past few years, but one that I'd really like to share with you today is Matthew 6, 24 through 34, if you'd like to turn there. Matthew 6, 24 starts out as, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, I believe that this verse is speaking to the Pharisees because they were slaves to their master of greed. Their desire was more for money than it was for their desire to serve God. And I started with verse 24 because verse 25 starts out with the word therefore. So that's obviously referring to something that was said before. So, with that in mind, I'll just continue to read. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I have the opportunity this week to go on a missions trip with Steiger to the Rainbow Gathering. And just to give you a little bit of an idea of what the Rainbow Gathering is, it's a New Age hippie pagan festival that it takes place in a different national forest each year. And it's a very spiritual place. People go there to find spirituality. But they find it in a lot of... They go there looking for it in different religions and different cults, a lot of Eastern religions. And a lot of people just go there for drugs and sex and things like that. But Steiger goes there, and we set up the Jesus Kitchen, and we hand out this rice, and we give people the opportunity to eat with us and to share their views of spirituality with us so that we can tell them about Jesus. So we can use this rice to tell people about the love of Jesus and what he can do for them. And you know that relying on God for we know that we have to rely on everything, on God for everything at the Rainbow Gathering. We can't just go in there without God, because we'll probably do a lot more damage than any good for the kingdom of God if we don't go there relying on God. Jesus knows what it's like to go to the Rainbow Gathering, because I believe that he hung out with people like that when he was here on earth. And I believe that if he was walking on earth today, that he would go to the Rainbow Gathering with us. Verse 26 says, Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Well, of course it's Father's Day. So throughout this scripture, God is referred to as our Heavenly Father. So I have some characteristics of what the ideal father is. The ideal father provides for his family's physical needs. He is a comforter. He disciplines and he teaches. And God takes care of us. He wants us to rely on him, and he wants to provide for us. He wants to comfort us and discipline us and teach us. And these are all characteristics that I know just by watching my Heavenly Father provide for my own physical needs. God's provision, although, does not give us the freedom to be lazy. Even though he provides for us, he wants us to depend on him, that doesn't give us the freedom to be lazy and to not do any work. A good father would never allow his children to become lazy and ungrateful. He would discipline them and encourage them to do what is right. Have you ever realized that people that are lazy think that it is their right to not have to work? They believe that everyone owes them It is not so much just being inactive and not motivated. It's a selfish attitude. And what a dissatisfied life that is. But how many times are we like that with God? Like, just by saying, God, you didn't do this for me, or I asked for this and you didn't follow through. Well, I know that I'm going to run into a lot of people at the Rainbow Gathering that say things like that, because they're hurt by Christians, or they're hurt by the church, or whatever. God let them down, and God didn't do what they wanted him to do. I can understand when people say, well, why did God let this happen? I have a good friend that tells me all the time that she used to believe in God, but her father used to beat her with a baseball bat, and she would pray to God that he would stop this from happening. And God didn't come through the way that she expected, so she decided that there must not be a God. And now it's been 20 years, and she is still bitter about it. It is her choice in how she deals with it. And she can continue to let this consume her life, or she can deal with it and learn from it. Relying on God is not lazy. Having faith that our Heavenly Father will provide for us takes a lot of work. And when you are obedient, he will provide. His way of providing may not be what you expect. My friend's expectations were not met the way she wanted them to be, and she's still bitter. Well, I've been raising support for 3 years now. And when I started raising support, I decided that I really needed to quit my full-time job so that I would have more time for this. You see, I was working at a metal fabricating company, and it was very hard work. And when I'd come home, I didn't have any energy left for the organization. So I felt like God wanted me to quit so that I would rely more on him. I felt actually that things were getting too comfortable and too predictable. I always knew when I'd get my paycheck. I always knew that I would have enough money to buy food, and I always knew that I'd have enough money to pay my bills. I felt that the only way that I could truly rely on God was if I put myself in a vulnerable situation so that I had to depend completely on him for all of my physical needs. So that's why I quit my job. And then I got a part-time job, reading utility meters. And wouldn't you know it, within 3 weeks after quitting the full-time job and getting the part-time job so I could do the ministry, I got fired from my part-time job for something that I really didn't even do. And within a couple weeks after that, then all of my roommates moved out of my house, and I had no income at all. And I had a lot of bills to pay. Well, that really shook me up. And I knew that God was trying to teach me a lot of things through this time, and I knew that God wanted me to depend on him. But I didn't really understand why he was doing all those things all at one time, but it took me a long time to realize that God was trying to show me that, you know, it's not an easy life depending on God, but he will always come through. And it may not be the most predictable way, but he always comes through. But before I started ministry, I thought that raising support was for lazy people that didn't want to get a job. Well, it really didn't take me long to realize how wrong I was to think this. Raising support takes a lot of faith, and it is easy to have faith after God has come through for you so many times. It's easy. It's just hard to take that first step and to have faith at first. But once he does, once you do that and then he follows through, it's just amazing. And God uses us to provide for other people. It is just a matter of us being obedient to him. Now, I believe that there are a lot of people called into ministry, but not very many people take up on that calling. Many people are held back for the fear of the unknown, or they don't feel like they have the faith that it takes to rely on the creator of the universe for their physical needs. It may be unpredictable, and maybe their circumstances hold them back. But what if you are one of those people? I want you to think about your dreams. What is it that you want God to do in your life the most? And could this be something that God is really calling you to do? God will supply for all of your needs, and not just your physical needs, but your spiritual and emotional needs as well. It's been said that the place where God calls you is the place where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. That was said by Frederick Buchner. I'll say it again. The place where God calls you is the place where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. I challenge you to put your trust in Jesus with every area of your life. He wants to provide for you. This food that we package goes to a small country in southeastern Africa called Malawi. God is using this ministry to reach thousands of children. And God is using this ministry and the missionaries in Malawi to further his kingdom. Malawi is known as the orphan nation because 10% of its entire population are orphan children. There are 12 million people in the country of Malawi. And 1.2 million of that population are orphan children. The missionaries distribute this food in the squatter settlement, which is just the poorest of the country, and they feed it to between 400 and 500 children, orphan children, every single day. The missionaries have also been able to house up to 150 children. This food is also distributed in the rural countries, the rural areas of Malawi. Providing the children with food gives them the energy that they need for school and work and play. But not only is it good for the body, but it also shows Jesus to thousands of people. So I'd just like to ask you to consider supporting me or this ministry so that we can continue this work. This is just one example of how being obedient can affect the lives of so many people. Right now, I would like to show you a video. I was able to travel to Malawi this last winter, and this video is only just a couple minutes long, but it just shows just a little bit of the ministry that goes on there and just the desperate need of the children that are being fed there. So I'll just let that go.
Bye.
For letting me share with you what God is doing in my life and through this ministry. I will have a table down by the front door, a display of some of the materials that you can pick up if you'd like to be interested, if you're interested in being involved with this ministry. I would love to talk to you. Thank you.